guys, welcome back to Resistance Chicks Headline News Friday segment, where we're going to bring you the top stories from this week to hopefully entertain you and also keep you aware of what's going on. My favorite is Fauci lied. The NIH has finally admitted that Dr. Fauci lied. They did fund the gain of function research in the Wuhan lab that they've been telling us, Fauci's been telling us unequivocally. We did. That's not a good Fauci. Unequivocally, we did not. You know,
if anyone is lying here, Senator Rand Paul,
it's you. Do you remember that? Oh my God.
This is like what kind of world are we living in? And then Attorney General Merrick Garland was grilled this week by some House members.
I want to know, were there agents there on January 6th?
I do want to know.
It kind of looks like it. So we have a video that we're going to show you. You can make up your mind. We'll tell you what we think.
Yeah.
What else do we have for him, Leah?
Well, ivermectin is still bringing down cases around the world, and we want to discuss that and give you guys a lot of hope, because there's good news out there, too.
We have good news coming up right after the break. I love that sunshine as we were coming in there. It makes me feel happy. And you know what else makes me feel happy?
Rainy, drizzly day here in Cincinnati, Ohio.
It was kind of like spitting all day long. But I mean, maybe you had sunshine where you were. But you know what else makes me happy? The NIH having to admit that Fauci is a liar.
Not just Fauci. You know, there's a lot of people at fault here. But bottom line is this. We funded.
Oh, I thought you were going to say we were right.
No, our country. Our country.
No, that's really depressing.
This pandemic that we're in. And that's the weight of it.
Plandemic.
That's the weight of it. And it's not just our country. You know, these are the globalist elites. And I'm going to play a clip here for you in a second. Rand Paul has been... Why does he seem like he's the only guy that will go toe-to-toe with
Fauci? Now, he's from Kentucky, so because we're in Ohio, it kind of feels close. So we call Thomas Massey and Rand Paul our adopted congressman.
And senator, yeah. Right, so it's another Fauci flood. This is from the New York Post. The National Institutes of Health has stunningly admitted to funding...
Is it stunning, though?
Sorry, go ahead.
I'm not stunned. I'm not stunned. You're not stunned. Okay, keep going. Sorry.
Has stunningly admitted to... funding. That was some reporter there. Like, we need an adjective there.
Right.
How about stunningly, right? Admitted to funding gain-of-function research on the bat coronaviruses at China's Wuhan lab, despite...
Predictably. I would have used the word predictably. Sorry. Go ahead. You're never going to get through this.
No. Here's the thing. It is stunning that they admitted to it.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. All right. Despite Dr. Anthony Fauci repeatedly insisting to Congress that no such thing ever happened in a letter to Representative James Corner from Kentucky on Wednesday. A top NIH official blamed EcoHealth Alliance, the New York City-based nonprofit that has funneled U.S. funds to the Wuhan lab, for not being transparent. It's just, you got to pass the buck somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
It's not my fault. Hot potato, mm-hmm. Catch that. You know, they weren't transparent about the work it was doing. The NIH principal deputy director, Lawrence A. Tabak, wrote in a letter that EcoHealth's limited experiment tested whether spike proteins from naturally occurring black bat coronaviruses circulating in China were capable of binding to the human ACE2 receptor in a mouse model. The lab mice infected with the modified virus became sicker than those that were given the unmodified virus. Oh, that's what we call gain of function.
When you take something and you try to make it worse.
We want to see if this would get bad for humans. It's the A2 receptor on humans. Okay. As sometimes occurs in science, this was an unexpected result of the research as opposed to something researchers set out to do.
Oh my goodness.
Gain-of-function research refers to viruses being taken from animals before they are genetically altered in a lab to make them more transmissible to humans. This omission from the NIH official directly contradicts Fauci's testimony to Congress in May and July.
Contradicts.
Didn't I say that?
You did. It's just back again.
When he denied the U.S. had funded gain-of-function projects in Wuhan.
Now, let's go back to Fauci kind of passing... trying to go around. There was a law that was put into place that said that we couldn't fund gain of function research
basically
here.
Yeah, we don't want to see if you can make something worse.
We don't want to make Frankenstein out of anything, especially infectious diseases. So somehow Anthony Fauci then takes a back door and knows exactly what he's doing and lies to the world about it and uses this lab in Wuhan, China to do essentially what he was told he is not allowed to do in the United States.
Rand Paul erupted on Twitter saying, "I told you so," doesn't even begin to cover it here. Tabak, who did not use the gain of function wording in his letter but alluded to it, said EcoHealth, which is run by British scientist Peter Daszak, failed to comply with the terms of the grant. Which required it to report immediately a one log increase in growth. Now, basically, if it kind of went that way, you kind of got to report it. EcoHealth failed to report this finding right away, as was required by the terms of the grant. EcoHealth is being notified that they have 5 days from today to submit to the NIH any and all unpublished data from the experiments and work conducted under this award. According to Tabak, the NIH...
What is an award? Is that a little, like a blue ribbon you get?
No, it's money.
It's money!
The NIH had reviewed EcoHealth's research plan in advance of approving the grant, but claims it wasn't subjected to additional review at the time because it didn't fit the definition of research involving enhanced pathogens. Tabak said if EcoHealth had alerted the NIH to the growth, it would have prompted a review to determine if the research plan should be reevaluated.
Okay, this is passing the buck.
All right, so if you wouldn't mind producers rolling that clip with Rand Paul, he's not even gloating, he's upset because millions of people are dead.
In this, he said early on, even back to 2012, that should a scientist catch one of these diseases and spread it as a pandemic,
Senator Rand Paul joins me now. Senator, thanks for jumping on the show with us tonight. Do you feel vindicated?
Absolutely. Well, yeah, but it's not really about me. It's ultimately about the safety of the country and the world. You know, if 5 million people died from a virus that came out of a lab, wouldn't we want to know? Wouldn't we want to try to prevent this from happening again? You know, they've experimented with other viruses that are much more deadly. This virus has been very deadly, but it's got a 1% mortality. What if you had a virus that had a 15%? They're also experimenting with the MERS virus. This is a coronavirus from the early 2000s that had a 50% mortality. And here's what they say. They still to this day are trying to get around the truth. They say, well, it was unexpected that it gained function. Well, how do you know if it's unexpected or not? It's unknown. If you take a virus from a cave, you combine it with a virus that has a 50% mortality, it either is going to be more transmissible or less, but you don't know in advance whether it's going to be worse or better. So when it gains function, that is something that actually is expected. Some of these viruses are going to gain function, and then the possibility of leaking out, I think, is a horrific thing for mankind. But realize that Dr. Fauci's been steadfast in this. He said early on, even back to 2012, that should a scientist catch one of these diseases and spread it as a pandemic, that the collective accumulation of science would be worth the deaths of the people who die. And that's the question right. People need to ask him, but nobody on the left will ask him, was it worth 5 million people dying?
Do you think that moment, that clip that we played of that interaction, and you had numerous interactions with Dr. Fauci now with this information, do you think that was perjury? Was he lying to you under oath? Is there anything for you to do now? Is there any accountability, Senator?
It's not only me. Many, many scientists are coming forward who are experts in this area saying, yes, they've been funding gain of function. He's been parsing words. He's been sort of kind of going around the subject, and he never fully explains why it's not gain of function. But I think his explanation is this. Oh, it was inadvertent. We didn't know they were going to gain function. Well, that's what a gain of function experiment is. You don't know when you combine two viruses if it'll be more deadly, but it might be. If you have half a brain, you know, if you combine two viruses, it sure might be more deadly. So he knew it was a gain of function experiment. He just didn't know the result of the experiment. But if that's the definition he's going to use, we still have all this craziness. You know, they do this in our country.
Right.
We need to try to make sure. So far, no Democrat has been willing to listen to this. I've been asking for an investigation for months. No bipartisan committee has brought this up or decided to tackle this. But, you know, we have scientists, Kevin Esfeldt from MIT. He's one of the great technological discoverers of CRISPR and gene technology for disease. He's not a partisan. He wrote in the Washington Post a week ago that this is a civilization ending. amazing kind of research, that this research could release something that could destroy civilization. That's coming from a scientist. That should scare us all.
You know, Senator, I know what you're saying, and we heard it at the time. He's playing semantic games with you. He's arguing with you about the definition of gain of function. He's weaseling out whether or not this satisfies, quite honestly, just his definition of gain of function. I'm sure there's going to be some semantic games about whether or not he knew EcoHealth Alliance had broken their grant with the NIH. I'm sure there are outs, but there needs to be some accountability for twofold, I think, and you laid out one of them, right? One is this gain of function research goes on. And the other is Dr. Fauci's word is gospel. People don't question his word on a host of things. So I have to ask you one last time, is there anything you can do to force accountability?
Well, we've referred him already to the Department of Justice, but this is a very partisan Department of Justice. That's really, they have a big problem. You've heard of domestic terrorism with moms at the, school board meetings. So I think they're going to be spending time going after, moms and parents complaining about what they're teaching at school. But I don't know if they have time to go after Dr. Fauci for lying. And no, he should be. He should be held accountable because what we have developed is a system of healthcare in our country where doctors are afraid to speak out because he'll cut off their research funding, where doctors who have talked about innovative treatment to try to help people survive COVID are being lectured and told, we'll take your license. This is the kind of thing, this top-down centralization of medical authority that's not good for the country. It's also not good for innovation because in a crisis like this, a doctor will stumble upon something that really works and we may well learn from that, but not if the doctor is told you'll be fired if you do anything outside the algorithm.
Senator, if he won't be investigated and he won't be fired, should Dr. Anthony Fauci resign?
Without question. And the biggest lack is for lack of judgment. He continues to think that we should fund research in China. As we speak, EcoHealth is still getting money for research in Wuhan. There's a project from 2020 to 2025 that, to my knowledge, Anthony Fauci is still in favor of funding. He says that's where the bat viruses are. We got to go there without any kind of understanding or comprehension that perhaps the Chinese communist military or government isn't the same as dealing with a democratic government elsewhere in the world. He hasn't really realized that that might be a problem, and they actually might have, not just unintentional problems, but actually might have intend to create things that would be very damaging to the world.
Right. All right. Senator Rand Paul, hopefully there is some place we can find accountability for these lies. Thanks for jumping on with us tonight and letting us know what you make of this new report.
Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Paul.
There is so much to unpack from that.
Civilization ending.
That's exactly, literally. And
they're still working on them.
Now go back to what Rand Paul said. He was saying that Fauci funding the NIH is Fauci had said in 2012 that the Fauci, I'm just going to keep calling him Fauci. It would be worth the deaths.
He said it would be worth the deaths.
The deaths. What an evil monster. Love that we are on Bridie on TV right now, and I can say whatever
what
I want.
Monster.
Fauci is an evil, murderous monster. But there were a couple of other things that I loved from this interview, how Rand Paul broke down and was saying what Fauci was doing in his parsing of words every time he's been confronted or brought before the Senate committee is the result of the gain of function. It's not gain of function because we didn't know that it was going to gain function. And so it wasn't really gain of function unless we knew that it was going to gain function. And I'm like, hang on a second, because whether you guys know it or not, we have heritage hogs here at God's Little Acre in Ohio with Resistance Chicks. We breed heritage hogs. So we keep the boar separate from the sows when we don't want to breed. What Fauci is essentially saying is we put the boar together with the sow, but it wasn't breeding time because we didn't know if he was going to actually breed the sow. You know that if you're going to put a boar with a sow, then the piglets are coming in 3 months, 3 weeks, and 3 days. You know what I'm saying? Okay.
I don't know what you're saying, but yeah.
They're going to know what I'm saying
now.
Okay,
so this is a 3.1 million.
That was a good comparison.
It was great. A $3.1 million grant was awarded for a five-year period between 2014 and 2019. After the funding was renewed under Trump in 2019,
right,
a grant of $600,000 to the Wuhan Institute of Virology for bat coronavirus research. The proposal acknowledged the risks of such research, saying fieldwork involves the highest risk of exposure to SARS or other COVIDs while working in caves with high bat density overhead and the potential for fecal dust to be inhaled. This is absolutely, I'm glad that it's coming out, but we've known this for a year and a half. And the fact that Senator Rand Paul is pointing out as way too late, some people are kind of, you know, tiptoeing around. Where has Tucker Carlson been on the therapeutics? Except Peter McCullough, I guess, has kind of been on Laura Ingraham, but these are these doctors all
over
the country.
We need to be treating people.
Who are treating people on the front lines. Here's the thing. Oh my gosh, somebody blew their leg off. I don't know how to put it back on. Well, you do something. Stop the bleeding, okay? Do something.
No, could you imagine? I mean, let's just imagine any kind of, you know.
Just got to wait for a vaccine. Sorry if you get it. You're just going to have to go home. Our only plan here is ventilators. I mean, that's just our plan. Your body's just going to have to fight this off by itself.
Okay, so imagine any kind of Red Cross tent or medical tent, and you show up with the leg blown off. And they literally say, you know what? You said leg blown off.
Okay.
You know what? Just go home and hope for the best.
Yeah, and when you're, and then when you're kind of out of blood, come back.
Yeah.
When you feel like you're out of blood, come back. So Emma Robinson says, she's a reporter with Newsmax, Dr. Fauci is not just morally responsible for creating COVID-19. He is directly responsible for millions of deaths around the world. He blocked any therapeutic treatment that was effective from being used in order to push the experimental vaccines. And I'm going to plug something a little bit here that
it's
we
all
are
about money.
We're going to be investigating here on Resistance Chicks a little bit more, our own research. But as you are on Bridie and are well aware,
don't shout in
that
mic.
There is a remedy that people are using
around the
world. We're
not supposed to use those words, right?
A remedy.
We're gonna dance around what we're using. There's a thing
that's helping people. It's called chlorine dioxide. And you guys have all sent me the literature. I now have the stuff.
So we're digging into it.
I have the stuff. I have begun taking the stuff, and I will report back to you to see how if I'm not dead yet. So, I feel fine. But we're gonna bring that to you because in Bolivia, in South America, in Mexico, they don't have like all the vitamin. I mean, Michelle's got her little vitamin pill. You know, you guys know she's working on a little bit of long COVID, and we have a doctor who's working with us. We're not afraid to tell you what treatments we're using. We've got some inflammacor, mitocor, turmeric, black seed oil, serapeptase for emptying out the arteries.
NAC,
quercetin. And magnesium. Michelle is now taking some fluvoxamine with.
That's a prescription.
You have to get that from a doctor. And two-week ivermectin, and it's really helped bring down some of the long COVID things. There are a lot of doctors now who are just entering into like a longer COVID. Let's say you're over basically the virus and you can function, but things aren't working. Or maybe you're not.
It sent your body into a storm. And we call it the cytokine storm. And I want to be really clear for, because we've got a lot of people, there's no such thing as long COVID. Y'all don't know what you're talking about. What happens, it's not that COVID lasts for months and months and months. It's what it did to your body is continuing
then playing those spike proteins hang around for a while. It's kind of like, oh, well, you can say that somebody has COVID, but you can't say that like those spike proteins hang around for a while and they're causing inflammation. And some people can't even get out of bed.
We're doing way better than a lot of people.
We are, but we're working on ourselves and we're going to report back to you on things that are working. And a lot of doctors are using fluvoxamine with ivermectin. There's a doctor in Kentucky who was upset because he tweeted out that a pharmacy would not fill fluvoxamine. It's low box.
No, listen to me. Everything that these FLCCC doctors do that works, that's cheap, they come out and the globalists, the bad guys, we'll call them, come out and say you can't use it. So much so they have told people to stop taking aspirin.
Yeah, exactly. They're trying to dissuade you from aspirin. Listen, guys.
If it doesn't make them money, if it keeps people from getting their vaccine.
This is a disease or whatever. I don't even think it's a disease, a bioweapon or whatever that attacks the blood. It creates micro blood clots. So taking an aspirin will help. And that is scientifically proven that aspirin helps thin the blood. That's the point. It's from a willow tree. Okay. This is from
I don't think it's from a willow tree anymore.
Well,
it used to be.
Dr. Saeed Hader, and I'm going to spell this. Dr. DR.
Well, I didn't want to, because when you put it into the search,
you can do DR, Dr. Saeed, S-Y-E-D, Haider, H-A-I-D-E-R, .com. And he is treating telemedicine in 40 states.
Nice.
And this is what he tweeted out. My experience using ivermectin and fluvoxamine. Now, we've covered ivermectin ad nauseum, but what we haven't covered is a new therapeutic that that doctors are using ivermectin and fluvoxamine together, because if fluvoxamine works on the inflammation and things like that, it's actually an antidepressant, but it's a chemical reaction. It's not to not make you depressed. It's to take down the inflammation. So the ivermectin fluvoxamine, he has treated 4,000 acute COVID patients. He's only had 5 have to go to the hospital, 0 deaths, 4,000, all of them recovered.
That's amazing.
Every single one recovered. He said 5 pharmacy threats, 1 medical board complaint, 1 lawyer retained, and hundreds of medication transfers for pharmacist refusals.
That is incredible.
And here's the thing. Underneath of him is Dr. Flavio A. Candegni. And I'm
going to... Candegni.
Candegni. Okay, so if you guys listen to The Blaze.
Candegni.
So,
So
he was on The Blaze this week. So, Candegni, thank you. He says he's in Brazil. I think he's one of the top COVID treating doctors in the world.
Wow.
Peter Corey says he's one of the top in the world. He treats hardcore cases, right? He says 2,400 patients treated, 0 deaths, 5 hospitalizations. He says 0 pharmacy threats, 0 medical board complaints. He goes, I guess you and I are just lucky with these huge coincidences of having treated slowly the alleged 85% that would have recovered regardless. Chances to this are 1 in 1 trillion that these guys would not have a death with how they both treated, with the way they're treating. And they are, this is why I encourage everybody to go to the Frontline Critical Care website, the FLCCC. Go to the IMAS protocol. Get this stuff on the protocols. You can go to my website, our website, resistancechicks.com, what to do if you get the bug. Here's the thing. You don't have to die of this thing, baby, but it can kill you.
Whoa, that's really good.
There you go. You don't have to die, but it can kill you. It's the most dynamic thing, okay? Basically, they give you the means, because if you get shot, to not bleed out. It boggles my mind. So, you know, going back to Fauci, going back to the gain of function research. Oh, we have to go over there because that's where the bat coronaviruses
go
are.
Go back further than that. What do we go to? We go to Agenda 21. We go to Event 201, right? That this entire thing was planned from the beginning.
So we did a special this Sunday.
We did.
So, guys, what's it called? What was it called?
The
Great Reset.
Transhumanists or something.
Yeah.
We can't even remember the title of our own show. Wait, it was something about how to stop the transhumanist takeover of the world or something. It's on our website that was just up.
All right. So, guys, when we come back here, we're going to switch gears a little bit because Thomas Massie has some hard questions for our current attorney general there on maybe some feds being involved in 1/6.
Y'all knew it, and I knew it, and now we're going to see it come out.
The one date we're not allowed to talk about. I think it's the first time I've ever put 1/6 in a title before, because, like, the feds will come after you.
I put a J in front of it, actually. I just put J6. I put J-6. So you're not going to want to miss that, and so much more coming up after this break. I love this show. You've done a good job so far. All right, we'll see you in a bit.
Thank you, NIH.
Man, I hope you guys did not miss the first half of this show. If you did, you can go to the archive section on Brighteon.tv of all of your favorite shows on Brighteon here, and you can watch them back after the fact. So if you did miss the first half, where we laughed a lot, and we talked about the NIH admitting that Fauci lied about the gain-of-function research, we have a little bit more. They've changed the name now?
Yeah, so for those of you who don't know, the NIH... define their original definition of gain of function on their website has actually changed just 3 days ago. It the section has been deleted and the page was edited within the past 2 days.
What did they change it to now?
So the term gain-of-function research describes a type of research that modifies a biological agent so that it confers new or enhanced activity to that agent. Some scientists use the term broadly to refer to any such modification. However, not all research described as gain-of-function entails the same level of risk. For example, research that involves the modification of bacteria to allow production of human insulin or the altering of the genetic program. So you can actually gain a function to not necessarily something bad.
Okay.
But now they've changed it. On limited occasions, when justified by...
They're now calling it EPPP research.
On limited occasions, when justified by compelling public health need and conducted in very high biosecurity laboratories, NIH has supported certain research that may be reasonably anticipated to create, transfer, or use potential pandemic pathogens resulting from the enhancement of a pathogen's transmissibility and or virulence in humans. The U.S. government and the Department of Health and Human Services define such research as enhanced potential pandemic pathogen. The NIH supported EPPP research requires strict oversight and may only be conducted with appropriate biosafety and biosecurity measures. This research can help us understand the fundamental nature of human pathogen. No, 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 and no, and no, and no, and no, and no.
You know what this
liars.
Reminds me of, though? It reminds me of when we just changed the name of the Nazis to the European Union. You can't just repackage something and expect it to people to... I mean, well, they did actually swallow the European Union deal, but you can't just put a new name on something. You know, you got a product that nobody likes, and you rip the label off, and you slap a new one on, and it's just still the same thing.
So, guys, if you are used to watching our shows on Friday nights, you might know that we do these things called, I call them commercial breaks. And my commercial break is a completely off-topic, one-off subject.
It's supposed to be funny. Is this one going to be funny?
Yeah. So the Department of State tweets out 2 days ago, October 20th, 2021. This is what they tweeted out. Today, on International Pronouns Day,
oh dear,
we share why many people list pronouns on their email and social media profiles. Read more at Share America. And you have she, her, he, him, they, them, he slash him, they slash them, and she slash her. Okay, so that's
here's
the
thing. Here's the thing that really bothers me.
That is
about
from
this.
No, here's the thing. The Department of State tweeted that out, Nani, huh? Not like some radical left, share your AOC.
It's now part of it's ingrained
Department
in our country.
Of State,
apparently.
The U.S. federal.
So Leah's got a picture here that I'm looking at, and it's got these people. They're all wearing sweatshirts. They look comfy. She, her, he, him, they, them, he, him. I'm going back over it again. Now, I know you did. Okay. I was sitting right here. But my point is, aside from the he, him, at least the she, her, and the they, them could be me. If I'm in a group.
But what about...
Then they, them applies to me too. So it is a pronoun that I can use.
I know.
So y'all need to just stop trying to just personalize things.
It's everybody.
It's everybody.
Special.
You don't just get to own a pronoun. Your name is your name. Your pronoun is absurd, by the way.
In other news, we do have some attorney generals around the country, like one from Nebraska and from Louisiana, who are standing up for the treatment of ivermectin.
I am so excited about this.
So we've covered that. The attorney general of Nebraska, he had said,
"Who knew Nebraska?"
He said, "Listen, it's legal here in my state.
Yeah,
for any doctor to prescribe this, you know, you got to fill these prescriptions. So making sure the pharmacies in Nebraska fill these prescriptions. So you got this is from the Louisiana Attorney General Jeff Landry in regards to pharmacists refusing to fill ivermectin. I don't know where their conscience was when they were giving out opioids like M&Ms.
Come on now.
Ivermectin is not even a scheduled drug. Suddenly they found a conscience.
Can I just expound on that for a second? Because let's talk about opioids. You can become dependent on opioids and they produce a high, and then all of a sudden we've got a drug-demic. That's got to be a thing,
and
right?
And then a heroin epidemic and a fentanyl epidemic, and people are dying.
Is there a possibility of having an ivermectin-demic?
No.
Are people going to become addicted to...
This removing parasites from their bodies,
which might not be a bad thing.
Could we just send a bomb off?
If y'all don't know, Lee and I were talking about this about a year ago.
To get rid of all parasites.
We were saying, you know what? We used to worm ourselves in America back when we had like a farm age,
black walnut hulls.
Nobody's being wormed, and a lot of people have parasite issues.
Actually, they worm themselves with wormwood, black walnut hulls, and pumpkin seeds. And I mean, for our pigs, even, we get really excited because we have all these black walnut trees. And it is a natural dewormer. It'll kill parasites in your gut. And this year, the walnut trees went cray-cray.
We're going to get pulled into jail for telling people to worm themselves with black walnut.
No, you can buy it online.
Yeah,
that's actually a legitimate thing.
I bet they sell it at the natural or health ranger store.
I bet they do.
Healthrangerstore.com. I bet they have it there. They have everything there.
So wormwood, which you can grow in your garden, and black walnut hulls and pumpkin seeds. So at the end, Halloween's going to be over here. And we're going to go pick up a bunch of pumpkins from our local pumpkin farm. Yep. And our pigs are going to eat them. And they'll worm themselves. You have to, pigs are definitely need to be wormed usually twice a year.
It's a thing.
So Thomas Massie here, we're going to go over here. We're going to go to his clip. But he does talk a lot about the vaccinations. And he does talk about individual liberty. So he gives the definition of vaccine pre-2015. It was an injection of a killed or weakened infectious organism in order to prevent disease.
Prevent disease.
Yeah. Prevention. Vaccination 2015 to 2021, the act of introducing a vaccine into the body to produce immunity to a specific disease. Vaccination known definition as of September 2021, the act of introducing a vaccine into the body to produce protection from a specific disease.
Wow.
So it's not, we're not preventing it and we're not giving you immunity. We just want you to have kind of some, a little bit of protection. So I don't know.
So instead of calling it a vaccine, though, I think why don't we just give it a new name?
You're right. Instead of changing the definition for all vaccines, shouldn't we call whatever injections going around here? You just can't call it a vaccine.
Right.
It's just not a vaccine.
Yes.
You can't change because there's all kinds of other vaccines.
We'll call it. Hang on. I got it. The protection poke. See, that's a little alliteration there.
Yeah.
They like the pup because they got the EPP.
Yeah.
The personal protective gear stuff. They like that P thing.
Yeah. In other news, before we get to the Thomas Massie thing real quick, this was crazy.
Oh.
Alec Baldwin, he is well known for being rude and crude on Saturday Night Live and playing Trump.
He's the one
Trump.
That, like, my Trump impersonation comes from
and the left loves him. The left loves him. He is anti-gun. He's anti-Second Amendment. But he was on a set yesterday, and he shot and killed a camera woman and another the cinematographer. I'm sorry.
I don't want to make light of this because someone died, so please forgive me. Don't go sending me hate messages, because I really am very concerned about this person and I want you to pray for their family. However, I've seen Murder, She Wrote, and I know that when someone dies on set,
yeah, it's always
from a gunshot. Yeah. It was someone
in a movie,
planned it. Okay,
in the movies it was
I want to see Jessica Fletcher investigate this puppy.
Me too,
you know
sure.
what I'm saying?
But get this: there's new information.
Why was he
here.
Use? Okay,
so production crew actually walked off this Alec Baldwin movie set hours before the shooting in an argument over conditions, were replaced by on-the-fly locals. Are you kidding me? Workers feared for gun safety after two misfires days before the Baldwin accidentally shot dead.
But why did he have a gun with real ammo?
He fired a prop gun, what he thought contained blank rounds. The projectile, prop guns are actually still dangerous.
Sure.
Okay. So the projectile pierced through the cinematographer and then struck the movie's director, who survived. Hutchins was the cinematographer, was airlisted to the hospital.
Wait.
Hutchins.
What? A blank bullet is not going to pierce through someone's body.
No,
and hit
they
another
stuff
person.
Guns with something else besides a bullet to make the boom, and shrapnel and stuff can come out.
And it went very through this person's body and hit another person?
Yeah.
Because that doesn't sound like a safe thing.
No, it sounds more like a bullet.
It sounds like a bullet. I mean, we're going back to JFK here with the magic bullet. I mean, this is kind of sounding conspiracy-ishness.
Deadline cites an unnamed source who says a gun fired while someone was holding it in the cabin. Says the union rules stipulate that no live rounds are ever to be used on a film set. The replacement crew are not believed to be union members. The crew of Alec Baldwin's movie were already concerned about gun safety before he accidentally shot.
Shot. I've heard the audio of him like screaming at his daughter. Do you remember
I
that?
Know,
came
I
back.
Know.
All right, we got to get to these clips. We're almost done with our show.
All right, guys. So Thomas Massie plays this clip that we've played over and over again. there's this guy, he's from Arizona, he's supposedly the head of the Oath Keepers in Arizona, has not been charged with any crimes. Could you cue that up, Cinderella?
I know. In fact, tomorrow, I don't even like to say it because I'll be arrested.
Well, let's not say it.
We need to go, I'll say it.
All right.
We need to go into the Capitol.
Let's go!
So I'm going to put it out there. I'm probably going to go to jail first. Tomorrow, we need to go into the Capitol. Into the Capitol.
What?
That he doesn't push the gate open. You see, he's whispered in people's...
like the devil. Like sitting in someone's ear.
Would you go ahead and play Thomas Massie?
Well, wait. Don't play yet. I want to cue this up. I want to explain to people. So Thomas Massie plays the clip that we just showed you.
Yeah.
I cut it out because he was playing it on a tablet, and we decided to give you the full picture first. So you'll see kind of a cut in the conversation here in a second. You've got Thomas Massie talking to the Attorney General and questioning him, hey... what about this video that we just showed you? Okay, now cue it up.
There's a concern that there were agents of the government or assets of the government present on January 5th and January 6th during the protests. And I've got some pictures that I want to show you if the my staff could bring those to you. All right, you have those images there, and they're captioned. They were from January 5th and January 6th. As far as we can determine, the individual who was saying he'll probably go to jail, he'll probably be arrested, but they need to go into the Capitol the next day, is then the next day directing people to the Capitol. And as far as we can find, this individual has not been charged with anything. You said this is one of the most sweeping investigations in history. Have you seen that video or those frames from that video?
So as I said at the outset, one of the norms of the Justice Department is to not comment on impending investigations, and particularly not to comment about particular scenes or particular individuals.
I was hoping today to give you an opportunity to put to rest the concerns that people have that there were federal agents or assets of the federal government present on January 5th and January 6th. Can you tell us, without talking about particular incidents or particular videos, how many agents or assets of the federal government were present on January 6th, whether they agitated to go into the Capitol, and if any of them did?
So I'm not going to violate this norm of the rule of law. I'm not going to comment on an investigation that's ongoing.
Oh my gosh. So I loved how, so let's go back to the original video that we just showed you, the start. The one guy that was there starts shouting, Fed, Fed, Fed. He called it like right away, wait a minute. And I loved how the crowd started cheering no when the guy's like, we need to go into the Capitol. And the whole crowd was like, no.
So that man is Ray Epps, former leader from the Arizona chapter of the Oath Keepers. Now, it seems to me that they kept talking about these Oath Keepers. But remember, what happened in Michigan? Okay, it was almost like it was a setup. Remember, I think it was 12
with
out of
Gretchen Whitmer.
Is either 8 out of 12 or 12 out of 15. The majority, 2/3, were either federal agents with Gretchen Whitmer, the kidnapping of the
they were there was a plot. I use that loosely, to kidnap Gretchen Whitmer.
Yeah,
and in that plot, how many of them were federal agents?
Most of them.
Almost all of them.
Most of them, and there, we want to know how many were federal agents on January 6th, because you're not going to convince me that
you
they
can
have...
go all the way back to the Oklahoma City bombing, and you will see federal agents infiltrating every, like, almost every major. And that's why we get a bad rap when we call something a false flag. It's not that it didn't happen.
Right.
It's who was behind it.
Okay.
Was it actually a grassroots movement, or was the FBI involved?
At one point, the FBI actually had Ray's picture up on its page of people that they wanted to question. They arrested 600 people. This wasn't like, oh, well, maybe he wasn't that important. Uh-uh. They arrested grandmas walking through the Capitol, okay, wanted to charge and put him in jail. No. Only was he not arrested with multiple videos, okay, of him saying, pre-planning this insurrection. If there was one insurrectionist, it was this guy.
Yeah.
Okay? But the one insurrectionist was not arrested. His picture was quietly removed from the FBI Capitol
violence page. Let me tell you how that happens. Here's how that happens. Somebody goes, actually, okay, let me explain something to you guys. Not everybody understands this, and I don't fully understand it, but I do know a little bit. We have what we call FBI assets.
Yeah.
Okay? So you don't have to be an FBI agent to be an FBI asset. The FBI has an awful lot of assets. And so I believe that this Ray Epps guy was an asset.
Sure.
And so what happens is he gets put on the list, and then somebody says, comes up the line and says, actually, that's one of my assets. So the file gets pulled and shoved away and quietly hid because he's an FBI asset.
Yeah, exactly. And that's, guys, the whole thing on January 6th was a setup. It was a plan, okay?
Yeah.
As Trump likes to say, the insurrection happened on November 3rd. And
that's really good.
January 6th was the protest.
Right.
You heard the people yelling, Fed, 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 no, no, no. There was another video that came out this week where you had...
Exactly.
That was just,
thank you. The Fed, Fed, Fed.
Yeah.
So good.
You had police officers waving people into the building.
Yeah.
We showed you guys tons of videos in the beginning where you had police officers opening doors, opening gates.
They were shaking hands. We showed footage, and we've been covering this since it happened.
Yeah.
We have showed footage on our show where you've got a line of police officers. You've got people coming in, and you've got police officers saying to the people, I don't agree with it. Essentially saying, I have to let you in, but I don't agree with it.
So Luby Gohmert did a really good grilling on this and saying that in 2012, I believe, the Democrats upheld official proceedings. He asked Attorney General Garland, has anybody been charged with insurrection?
Yeah.
No one. No one has been charged with insurrection. But that's the theme going around. It's just like Nazi, you know, whatever you want to call somebody. Guys, we had the goods. We have been covering that the election fraud. You know what else came out with this Attorney General meeting with Congress? He was asked, Attorney Garland was asked by Andy Biggs in Arizona.
Love him.
Are you looking into the $400 million that Zuckerberg put into these elections, private money? And you know what Garland says? I'm not aware of any of that. I'm not aware of what happened in the previous administration. And we're not looking at 2020.
So we never go back and look at past crimes.
No, never. Are you kidding me? Yeah. Not when you committed the crime.
Oh my God!
You're gonna cover it up. The fact it was so disingenuous.
Yeah.
I never even heard of Zuckerberg giving $400 million and paying for precincts here and precincts poll workers.
You know, that
sounds
like plausible deniability to me.
Oh,
Garland.
Yeah. Oh yeah, exactly.
Plausible deniability.
The same thing with as Rand Paul had mentioned in the earlier clip in the show, that they're more concerned about working with public school unions so that parents can't come into school board meetings and question critical race theory and what their kids are being taught, because that's the really important thing.
Yeah.
Although Merrick Garland's son-in-law just so happens to work for a company that sells workbooks and surveys on getting critical race theory into classrooms. They find it a market to be exploited, to make money on.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so I don't think we're going to have time for our Biden clip, but here's the good news.
I think we do. It's really quick. Let's play it right
now. All
right,
let's go ahead and do the Biden clip.
Let's do the Biden clip.
About that, just in terms of inflation, because you had told us at a town hall, I think it was in July, that this was just near-term inflation. The Wall Street Journal recently talks as like 67 financial experts who said that they saw high inflation going all the way or deep into 2022.
Yeah. Ice cream cones in there.
No,
he said there was ice
cream cones. It was like,
oh, okay, it is like he's what the, don't pay attention to
what's happening. What's happening right now? Did you see it? Looked like Cooper he was Anderson. Constipated, it looked like he was getting ready. I don't know what it was. What was that?
No, you said
somebody has suggested online that if you do this, it's impossible to fall, it's almost impossible to fall
and
asleep.
And we know that he has trouble falling asleep, but what is this like? Is he getting ready to punch Anderson Cooper in the face?
Skiing.
Is he going skiing? Is
that a rocket ship?
Is he going to take off in the air? I just have no idea what that
Somebody's got one of those little red puncher guys and they're like this, like, you know.
Like he's ready to do totally defend himself. Oh my gosh, I have no idea, but that was our little Biden clip for the day. So before we round off this segment, I want to remind you to tune in to Resistance Chicks on Bridey on TV every Friday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We also do a live show that you can find on our website every Sunday at 1:30 p.m. We cover world news. We're actually going to be doing another segment. I want you to stick around for Ann Vandersteel, but you can also join us on resistancechicks.com for our segment. We'll do a follow-up for
And this week, check out our G. Edward Griffin interview.
Oh, yeah. So G. Edward Griffin, we interviewed him this week. It was a dream come true
and
for us.
And if you can, head down to Lafayette, Louisiana.
For the Red Pill Expo. You guys can find all the links to that on our website. So remember, it's not just a conspiracy theory. If it's actually the truth, we love you guys. God loves you. God bless. Submit to God. Resist the devil and he shall flee. Have a wonderful weekend, guys.